Morning. So glad you're with us this morning. Hey, reiterate, the baptistry's open. Come see John, Pastor John, or my wife over here, or, you know, anybody that looks like they can hold you underwater for a second. All right, so we're doing a sermon series. We're talking about the voice of God, and whether or not he still speaks to us. If he does, how does he do it? And if he does, and how do we learn to hear him better? And so that's where we are. Last week we talked about some of the more supernatural ways that God speaks to us. We talked about angels. We talked about audible voice from heaven. I heard from somebody at church that said they've heard God's voice from heaven before. I've heard an internal voice before. Lots of us have angel stories, right? And so, God still speaks. And so today I'm going to share with some of the more natural ways, not supernatural, but natural ways that God speaks to us. And I'll start with a story. My dad, was an attorney for many years. In fact, he moved from East Texas to North Texas to become the city attorney of Denton. So that's how we got here. And he was there for a while, but then he got sidetracked. He had no intention of ever starting a ministry, but in the 70s it captured his attention. There was a pastor, a prominent Russian pastor, I think he's a Baptist pastor, named Georgi Vins, that was arrested in Moscow, and it made news because, you know, Cold War is really heating up. This is a freedom of religion thing. President Carter happened to be a Baptist. I don't know if you remember that. And so he got interested, and he was talking to Brezhnev, and the American church was doing nothing, but they couldn't. There was nothing they could do. That was the Iron Curtain. And so my dad took it upon himself, since nobody could do anything, to raise money for his legal defense. And so he took an ad out in this brand new magazine. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Christianity Today. Just started. And he put an ad in it. And surprisingly, lots of American Christians cared that this pastor was in jail. And so now all of a sudden we got this great problem. And I say we, because, you know what, I'm three or something, but he's got all this money and no idea how to get it to this pastor in a Russian gulag. And so he prays for guidance. He gets his passport ready. He gets a visa, and he travels to Moscow. He knows nothing other than the street that this man lived on. And so he's praying, and he's walking down the street, and he's looking for tails, and he's keeping an eye out for KGB, when this lady walks up to him and comes right next to him and grabs him by the arm, and this is how it sounds in Russian. Please come with me. Well, that's pretty good. Not bad. And it was Pastor Ben's wife. And she'd been waiting for him, she said, because God had given her a dream the night before. And in the dream, a bald American in a trench coat would be bringing the much-needed money for her husband's legal defense. She knew exactly where to find him and exactly what he looked like. And eventually, Georgi Vins immigrated to the U.S. But we're talking about ways that God communicates to us, because God is constantly revealing himself to us. And he does that because, number one, we know that God knows us intimately, but he wants us to know him. And so he likes to reveal things about himself to us. And so we talked about some supernatural ways. Today we're looking at these more natural ways. And sometimes those are through dreams or visions. Dreams or visions. Dreams and visions, of course, are very similar, only that dreams occur when you're asleep. Visions happen when you're awake. We just finished a Christmas series in which dreams played a big part. You remember Mary and Joseph? Joseph was going to divorce her because she was with child out of wedlock. And an angel came in a dream and encouraged Joseph to take Mary as his wife and to take Jesus as his adopted son. And then in the same story, the wise men, they were warned in a dream. And they'd gone by Herod. Herod had snowed them. He said, hey, when you find him, tell me about it because I want to worship him too. And they were ready to go back and tell Herod where baby Jesus was. But an angel in a dream warned them and they went back another way. So some might say, okay, well, those are great Bible stories, old Bible stories, dusty old book. God doesn't communicate like that anymore. But I think we're wrong if we believe that. One of the ways we know is because on the day of Pentecost, Peter said that the coming of the Holy Spirit, that at the coming of the Holy Spirit, this type of communication would actually increase, not decrease. He didn't say, okay, well, now that we've got the Bible, God's only going to communicate through it. In fact, he says the opposite. He says when the Spirit falls, these things are going to happen more often. And he's quoting the Old Testament Joel. This is in Acts chapter 2. In the Old Testament, Joel is saying one day in the future, this is going to happen. Peter says, hey, everybody, it's now. It's happening. The Spirit has fallen here today. And so here's what he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my Spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right, so that's pretty exciting. How many of you feel like you've had a dream that was given by God? Well, I'm not saying you're old, but the Bible does. Visions are for young people like me. That is in black and white, brother, right there. Now, I mentioned Joseph. I mentioned the Magi. God gave them very specific instructions, you know, in their dreams. And when I preached that message, I told a story, and I'll tell it again today because it's worth hearing again. It was a Muslim family way out in the Muslim world, and they were looking for God. They knew something wasn't right about what they'd been taught. And so they didn't know who to pray to, and so they just prayed. We want to know the one true God, the real God. That night, every one of them, there were parents and like three kids, every one of them had a dream. And in this dream, there was a Middle Eastern man wearing a robe, and nobody knew who it was. But they all had the same dream, and they talked about it, and they talked about how weird that was. And then a couple weeks later, the Jesus Film Project showed up with missionaries, and they showed the Jesus film, and the Middle Eastern man in the robe was the man that had been in their dreams. And they all became Christian. And the whole community was changed. Sometimes God gives us a dream when we're awake. This happened with Paul, Acts chapter 16. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And during the night to Macedonia, and during the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen this vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now that's pretty cool. Paul's sounds a little bit like me. He's got his travel itinerary already planned out. And he's going this way and this way. And God's like, nope, I don't want you to go there. Nope, don't want you to go there. Stop you from going there. And then God gives him this vision of this Macedonian man saying, come here. And so now Paul's realizing, oh, this is why we're not going to Galatia. This isn't why we're going to Phrygia. We're going to Macedonia. And so they made plans to go to Macedonia. When they reached Philippi, they met a woman. You know this story. Her name was Lydia. She was well known for making her purple dye. And Paul led her to the Lord, and they started a church in her home in Philippi. We now call it the Philippian church. And one of my favorite books in the Bible is written to that group of people, all because Paul had a vision. All right, so another way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through impressions. And I have a bad joke right here.
I'm ready.
But I'm not going to try to do impressions. I can't do it. Impressions, and I would define an impression as from God as God's influence on our body or our minds or our physical senses that gives us a feeling, an idea, or an opinion about some situation. Okay, so, but the key is that it's not just your own gut feeling, it's divinely given. So God-given impression. And I think the Bible's full of examples of those. Nehemiah in the Old Testament, then God put it into my mind to assemble the nobles. The officials and the people to be registered by genealogy. I found the genealogical record of those who came back first, and I found the following written in it, etc., etc. But he says, the Lord put it on my mind to do this. In Acts, Paul gave an impression. Paul's preaching, and it says, in Lystra, there was a man, this is Acts 14, there was a man sitting who was without strength in his feet. He had never walked, and he had been lame from birth, and he listened as Paul spoke. And after looking directly at him and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, stand up, and he jumped up and began to walk aground. So how else would Paul know, looking at this guy, that he had faith to be healed? God impressed on his heart that this guy had the faith. So God showed him. Now, the best example probably is Jesus, okay? We could go for hours talking about Jesus ministering through the Spirit. But you remember the story in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus is preaching at a house and it's closed because nobody else can fit in there. And the friends have somebody on a mat that's lame, and so they cut out the roof and drop him down. And Jesus says something really strange then. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And this is what Mark writes after that. But some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things in your heart? So somehow, the Spirit of God put it on his spirit that what was going on in their heads, and Jesus read their mail. So years ago, I was in a seminary. We lived in Fort Worth. I worked for a mega church that shall remain unnamed at the moment. And it was okay job, but there was something that didn't sit well with the pastor. And I liked him. He was an excellent preacher, communicator, good leader. He could run an organization. He could pay all the electricity bills and all that kind of stuff. But there was something off, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. And it wasn't a definite something. I knew that it was just this feeling I had, an impression, I think, from the Lord. Then my wife has a dream, a very, very specific dream, and I resigned the next week. And it confirmed what the Lord had been speaking to me within a month, or was it 2 months? Within 2 months, that church fell apart because of a terrible pastoral scandal. And we are so grateful for God's communication that we were out and already moving up here by that time, I think. So I think God gives us our mind and our feelings, And so it just makes sense that if we dedicate our minds and our feelings to God, then He will use those to communicate with us. The key is, now you have to go back to maybe the second lesson to look this up again on our sermon series, but the key is our interaction with the Spirit of truth. Because remember, God gave us each the Spirit to teach us, to remind us of all things, to testify about Jesus, to guide us in all truth, and to tell us what we need to know about the past and present and future. And so when all of those, whether you're talking about dreams or visions or impressions, they're informed by the Spirit of God. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but aligning with the Scriptures, then you're in a good place. And God can communicate to you. So that's the last point I want to make, is human messengers. One of the ways God speaks to us is through other Christians. So we're talking about preachers, teachers, prophets, folks ministering in spiritual gifts. My wife had a word of knowledge this morning. Somebody in here needs to hear this type thing. And we're going to talk about spiritual gifts next week, so I won't do much on that. But my point is, you don't have to be a professional minister for God to speak to you or to speak through you and minister to others. And it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, not everything that ministers say is of the Lord. I was looking for a little more pushback from you. Not you, Pastor. Yeah, all those other guys. No, I'm joking. If you've been in this church long enough, you know that's true, which is why Paul encourages the church to evaluate prophecies. He says there are two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. And the Greek there literally says pass judgment or separate. That is, separating the good stuff from the bad stuff, I guess. And so to pass judgment on. In fact, God reminds us that none of us are perfect. We're all fallible. None of us have the full picture. And Paul says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. So not everything we say is the full story. In fact, verses like James 3:1 are the ones that keep me up at night. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that you will receive a stricter judgment. So, it matters to God how we handle these things, and we don't always get it right. There was a couple stories I thought of them this morning. This wasn't in my notes, but and so I don't know if they're true, but we're going to pretend like they're true. There was a church, and a man stood up in the back, and he said, "Listen, thus saith the Lord, I've got this against you, I've got this against you, I've got this against you, and I've got this against you. And from now on, I'm riding Michelob over your church." Well, if you know the Bible, he meant to say Ichabod. Because Ichabod means no people of mine. So, Michelob. And there was another time a lady was just so excited that God had spoken to her about evangelism, and we got to go now. The streets, the fields are white to harvest. We got to go. Let's go. And she just runs out and throws the door open and leaves, and everybody's kind of excited. And then all of a sudden the door opens up again, and she says, "Thus saith the Lord, bring your coat. It's cold." So we're not always perfect. We don't always have the full picture. And I mentioned the Bereans before because I greatly admire them. Paul, this is on his second journey, missionary journey. And Paul and Silas come to a town called Berea in Macedonia. So Paul's normal MO was to go to a town and go to a synagogue. And because he's a rabbi, he would be offered a chance to speak. And so he would talk to the Jews about Jesus as the Messiah. Varying levels of receptivity, but most of the time they would say, "We don't want to hear this," and so then you'd go move on to the Gentiles. But when he came to Macedonia and preached, Luke tells us this. This is Luke 17. The people were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women, as well as men. So they sat, they gave Paul a hearing, they listened to him, they thought it made sense, but they didn't just leave it at that. They went back in the evenings and then pored over the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was accurate. And so this is always our bellwether. This is our barometer for truth in the scriptures. And so the Bereans did that, and he said Luke describes them as having more noble character than others. So preaching, it's an interesting business. I'll tell you two interesting things about preaching before I close. First, I find it interesting when someone comes up to me after church and says something like, "Have you been spying on me? Are you following me around town? Have you been reading my mail?" And I assure you, I am not. But that always encourages me, because that is the spirit of truth working in you and in me. And it means we're both headed in the right direction, and that God's communicating. Whether or not we listen, whether or not we obey, those are different stories. But God is speaking to his people. And so that's cool. And then the second thing that I like about church is when somebody comes up to me afterwards and tells me some life-changing thing that I've said in a sermon, and I'm pretty sure I've never said anything like that. It's way too smart, way too spiritual, way too deep. But it doesn't bother me, because, again, there is a dynamic. When we are together with the same spirit of truth, studying the Word of God together, there's a dynamic. You're reading it in your perspective, I'm giving my perspective, and God is moving and speaking. And so whether I said exactly what you think I said or not doesn't matter. It was God speaking to you, and it ministered to you, and it made sense to you. So God loves to speak to his children. He enjoys revealing himself to us. He wants to show us that he loves us. He wants us to know his character. He loves to impart wisdom when we find ourselves in situations where we don't know how to get out. But he really loves to help us be better ministers to one another, to help us love each other and help each other through life. So I'm going to give you one last story. This is from my hero in the faith, my wife. And I shared a funny story. Was it a funny story last week? Yeah. Somewhat funny story. And if you want to hear it, go back or just search poop story or angel story. It's the same. But anyway, so she had brain surgery in April, and it was anything but fun or funny. And in her recovery, she would describe it, and the only way she could really describe it, besides like knives in her head, was that she would be in a very, very dark hole with no light, no one there but Jesus. Jesus would be with her, but he was the only one that could reach her. I couldn't help her, you know, kids, grandkids, nothing. So anyway, she's going through these dark places. And then one morning she comes out of, I don't know what to call it, I call it a stupor. But she comes out of this thing, and she asked me to get a pen, and she asked me to write down some things that she was going to tell me. So I got one of those erasable markers, and I pulled up the shades on the window. I had this big pane window, and she proceeded to give me a list of 15 to 20 things that God showed her about friends and loved ones and family while she was down in that dark place. And I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if it was an impression. I'm not sure. But she spent the rest of the day calling and texting everyone on that list and telling them what God showed her. And it was life-changing for them. And it was life-changing for her. And it was life-changing for me. That's why I appreciate and love the voice of God. It's very practical. We need to hear His voice. He shares it with us because He loves us. And because He loves us, He lets us know. And so we need to commit. We have, but we need to continue to commit to listen. And then pass along what He shares with us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for Your voice. I thank You for Your word. We're not great at hearing Your voice. Some of us are, some of us aren't. I'm not. I have certain ways that are easier for me to hear than others, but I want to grow. And so I just make that commitment. I need Your voice in my life. When Dr. Opong was praying and talking about being in situations that are challenging, dire, I need Your voice. I need Your word of encouragement. And I want to be that voice for others as well. When they're in that place, that I have something from You to give them. And so I'm not there, but I want to be there. And I'm committing to go there. And so, Lord, let us do that as a church body, that we would be known for people that know the voice of God. You told us, My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me. And so we want to know Your voice, and we want to follow You. Lord, there are needs in this room today, some that have been unspoken for years, that only You know about. There are dark holes in this room that people find themselves in. You're in there with them. And I pray that You would meet every one of these needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As we go from this place, Lord, let us hear from You this week. We love You and we rejoice to be a part of Your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I don't think the baptism of water is cold yet, so come see us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.